Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my last two guests for our segment, Broad Appeal. And very happy to welcome you all to a little segment we like to call Sports Weekly. It is Wednesday. It's hump day. We need a little relief from the politics. So every Wednesday at 5:30, we'll bring you a little bit of sports talk. And on my better days, I'm joined by folks that know more about sports than I do. This week, joined by Ryan Pollock. He's a writer and contributor to Brewers Fanatic. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Ryan. Lovely to have you.
I'm ready to get started.
I love it when someone can share with my sports nerddom. So let's jump right in, Ryan. The Brewers were able to put up what I think was a critical morale-boosting win this past Sunday against those dreaded I-94 rivals, those dastardly Chicago Cubs. A shutout, nonetheless, despite some scary moments there. How important was that game just from a team morale, fan engagement, sort of season trajectory perspective?
Well, prior to that game, we were already on a three-game losing streak against all Chicago teams, and it's already bad enough that it's our rival. But if we're trying to defend the NL Central and get it our third time in a row, just winning is going to give us a huge morale boost. It's going to steer us into the right direction, and it could provide us that great energy for the young talent that we already have on the team.
Yeah, that's really the hallmark of the Brewers season over season. We win when we are able to develop new talent, either coming out of the farm leagues or guys that have been otherwise undervalued in strategic trades. That is the Brewers' pathway to division wins and to potentially, hopefully, knock on wood, eventually slotting up an old World Series. For fans out there that are really engaged with the Brewers, Ryan, what do you think we should be looking for as sort of the canary or the indicator, the harbinger of whether or not this is going to be a winning and positive season for the Brewers or more of a rebuilding season?
Well, first things first, you got to think that because we are surrounded by young talent, there are going to be bumps in the road for these players. I mean, if you look at Jackson Churio last year, who ended up becoming this big-time prospect, number two prospect in all of Major League Baseball, he was off to a rough start for the first couple of months. I mean, he was hitting towards the 200 batting average, and then all of a sudden, come June, he exploded onto the scene and ended up becoming a Rookie of the Year candidate, taking third place. So I think the first thing you got to think of is being patient with some of these younger guys. And with Bryce Terang, I was a one person who was quick to judge right away because back in 2022, when he was first coming up, he wasn't really hitting the ball well and within the major league roster. And I was putting him down as a trade candidate. And all of a sudden, he started blowing up, and he's now the best hitter on the team. He's hitting above 300, and I don't know how ridiculous that might not sound, but that's saying that every 10 at bats, he's getting hits three times, and that's insanity.
Yeah, in this day and age of the MLB, batting above 300 is quite an accomplishment. Bryce Terang, Ryan, I'm glad you brought him up. He is one of my all-time favorite players because what he did was work really hard on his offensive game, broke down his hit to the very basics, retooled it, really worked on some hitting technique, both in the offseason coming into last season, again coming into this season. He has been a student. It's one of the things that I talk about a lot about why I love baseball so much, and that is if you are a guy that's got, again, you got to have supernatural talent. But in baseball, if you work the technical and you've got good coaching and you're willing to put those hours in Bryce's case, you know, in the batting cage with the hitting coaching staff, you know, you can really, really explode out. I think Bryce Terang is a great example of that in baseball. He's certainly an anchor in the lineup today. He's been so much fun to watch last season and this season. Again, and a bunch of fun out in the outfield as well. The guy can make some plays, no doubt.
No.
I wanted to ask you a little bit. Jesse Winker is now on the injured list. He's a former Brewer. He gets booed mercilessly anytime he is in town. I can't stand it because he was such a spoil sport and just a brat when the Mets played the Brewers to end last season in abject tragedy. What's the deal with Winker? Why does he come off so terribly? And listen, Brewers fans were maybe not super kind when he played for the Brewers. He had a terrible season, then went to the Mets and did really well. But he's basically behaves as a boorish jerk and says things that are completely unnecessary to basically antagonize fans. What's his problem, Ryan?
What I feel about him is that he is a little bit upset with the current fan base of the Brewers being the kind of rude towards him towards the end of his tenure. I mean, keep in mind, we got him from Seattle the year prior as part of a Colton Wong trade, and we didn't expect much of him. We were paying $8 million to play the outfield or DH spot, and if you even look at his numbers, he was hitting below 200. He wasn't getting that same power pop that he had with Cincinnati Reds when he was that Brewer killer that we remember. And yep. Because he was being constantly utilized over and over again by then manager Craig Counsell and was not putting up the production, we're very passionate fans. The Brewers yes. are very passionate fans. And if there is something just the slightest bit wrong, seeing the same thing over and over again, we're not going to like it, and we're going to tell you about it, whether it be nice or very rude, like we did with Jesse Winker.
Yeah. Here's the thing that blows my mind. He was getting paid $8 million to suck, right? And like, you get ticked off because the fans are a little bit disappointed in your performance. I mean, man, you are a professional. But this brings me to my larger point, Ryan, which is, especially in the last 2 weeks, it's like an explosion of bad sportsmanship. We see it again and again. Tyrese Halliburton's dad, like, getting up in Giannis's face after the Pacers knock the Bucks out of the playoffs. And then this kid who calls Shedeur Sanders to literally revel in that young man's what was a few painful rounds of the NFL draft. Let's take a listen, because I didn't get to talk about this yet on the air. Let's take a listen to what Giannis had to say about Tyrese Halliburton, a breakout star for the Pacers, getting up in Giannis's face and talking trash, dropping some F-bombs after the Pacers knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs last week. Let's take a listen.
Which at the moment I thought he was fine, but then I realized it was Tyrese's son, which I love Tyrese. I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This is the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful. You know, having somebody's dad, which I'm happy for him. Him and I'm happy for his son, and I'm happy that he's happy for his son. That's how you're supposed to feel. But coming to me and disrespecting me and cursing at me, I think it's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Okay? And I'm not the guy that points fingers, because in my neighborhood, snitches get stitches. So I don't want to say something, you know, for him to say, to get fined or anything. But it's not respectful. Attack with him at the end. And I think we're in a good place.
Now, granted, the Bucks-Pacers tensions go back decades, literally decades. But, and Tyrese Halliburton, I mean, admittedly, his dad has been kind of a clown show for a while. But it seems to me that a lack of sportsmanship, sort of in-your-face attitudes have gotten more prevalent. And the guy that called Shedeur Sanders, he's the son of an NFL coach. Like, this is a kid with a ton of privilege. We actually have the call of this coach's kid prank calling Shedeur Sanders, acting like he's going to get picked, which cruelty. This isn't funny. Let's take a quick listen.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Ready to go.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man.
No, for sure.
We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
Yeah, yes, sir. Let's be legendary.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Ready to go.
What does that mean?
What? What do you say?
I don't know.
How are you going to ask us what it means and you was on the phone?
You heard that?
You said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Okay. Sorry about that.
Why did he
talk? I don't know what that was. It's 50-50. But nobody got this number, though.
It was private.
Huh? Did they just troll, bro?
You can wrap that. Thanks, Cal. I mean, Ryan, we can chalk that up to maybe like a young man being stupid. But you should know better. His dad's a professional coach in the NFL. Kind of harkens back to some of the stuff way back in the day with Barry Alvarez's son and some of his terrible behavior. What's going on with sportsmanship these days, Ryan?
I really, possibly after listening to all the news that surfaced, to me, this feels like we're starting to blur the lines between what is passionate and sportsmanship versus what is just bragging and egotistical. I mean, with Tyrese Halliburton's father in that situation, he's very supportive of his son, and I respect that entirely. Like, you're seeing your son go out there and thrive, but you don't intervene. Like, you can cheer loudly and be as loud and proudful as you want, but the second you start interfering with what his job is. You start interfering and being like this rowdy, annoying like fan that's getting in people's faces, players' faces. If that was any other fan, there's a good chance that guy could be completely like removed from basketball altogether. And ironically enough, that's what's being done with his father now. He's not going to be seen at any Pacers games for the foreseeable future. And as for Shedeur Sanders, and he's trying to get a job. Like, you've worked constantly over and over again to try to get this job. And imagine, like, just any old blue-collar worker, they're trying to get their own job, get the credentials, and then they do the interview process, and then you get a phone call, and you get pranked. You're trying to find out your future here.
Yeah, it is. It is beyond. Now, I'm not going to mistake Shedeur Sanders for a blue collar worker, but it is cruel, and it should not be acceptable. What does sportsmanship and the lack thereof these days say about our larger political discourse and our country at large? Some concluding thoughts for this Wednesday, and a little over the hump and Trump, some good news to send you off into the tail end of the week. Coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks to Ryan Pollock. Check out his work at brewersfanatics.com.